Alright, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we are picking up Emir Tzah Hashem on Daf. Well, today's Daf is Lamed 30. We are picking up Emir Tzah Hashem on Chof Tes Amud Beis 29b. We're actually picking up at the two dots, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So a lot to do today. Says the Gemara, remember again, the Mishnah said that if you have vinegar that belonged to an Oved Kochavim, that belonged to an Akum, that was originally wine, so it's Aser for Yisrael to consume it and to get Hana'ah from it, even once it switches over to vinegar. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Mishum da'achme, it's pakele esura. But say, who cares if it turned to vinegar? Meaning, at the end of the day, once it was wine, then what? Then it's asra as yayin esach. Even if it changes form, that isra still remains. So at the end of the day, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Amravashi ha'asah shmoyin, and Rabbi, listen to the chiddush, teaches us, chometz shalanu biyat ovid kochavim, ein tzarech chosim besoch chosim. Rabbi, say what it teaches us is as follows. Tomorrow, Emir Tzah Hashem, we're going to get a little bit more into the interesting sugya of chosim besoch chosim, which Rabbi, say means a double simon. That some items, when entrusted to an akum, require a double simon, a double sign, in order to ensure that what? In order to ensure that they have not been tampered with by the akum. So the Gemara teaches me over here as follows, which is that if I go ahead and I entrust vinegar, right, our double wrapping, right? If I entrust vinegar, my vinegar, Jewish vinegar, my vinegar to an akum, I need not put it in a double seal. I need not give it a double chosim. One seal, in other words, I have to put something on it to ensure that it has not been tampered with, but it does not require a double seal. Why not? Because Rabbi saying, Ovid Yuchavim is not going to use my vinegar. Surely he's not going to use any vinegar for his Avodah Zarah, because they don't offer Avodah Zarah, they don't offer vinegar to Avodah Zarah, only wine. And Rabbi say, if I'm concerned about, he's going to swap out my vinegar for his vinegar. Since Rabbi say there's a seal there, it's not worth his while to tamper with this. And Rabbi say that he's only going to tamper with it if it's easy. Once he has to break a seal and then potentially reforge the seal, he's not going to tamper with it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah Bosai. That if I go ahead and I give Jewish vinegar to the Akum, all I need is one simen on the bottle in order to ensure that it has not been tampered with. I don't require two simonim. I'm Rabbi Eloi. Shaninu yayin mavushal sha'ovdik ha'cham shayim mitchiloso yayin aser. Furthermore, we learned, if you have yayin mavushal, we'll say wine that is mavushal. Now again, the discussion about what makes wine mavushal, we'll say, is a fascinating one. In other words, what type of heating, you know where this comes up? Rav Moshe has a whole discussion about this when it comes to pasteurization, right? Does pasteurizing ultimately go ahead and satisfy the criteria from mavushal? All right, Emir Tzah Hashem, we'll have to find the time to discuss this. In any event, Rabbi Eloi says, Yain mavushal, if you have cooked wine of an Ovid Kochavim, Shai mitchilas yain. Rabbi said, in the beginning it was regular wine. Then the Ovid Kochavim cooked it, Aser. Rabbi said, it is still Aser for Jewish consumption because of Yain Esech. Pshit, the Gemara says, okay, it's obvious. Mishum de'ivshal pakele yisura. Rabbi said, just because the Akum cooked it, doesn't change that what? It was originally Yain Esech. Once you Yain Esech, always Yain Esech. So what's the chiddush? Amar Ravashi ha'asa shmoinon, yayin mavushal shelonu. Oh, Rabbi say, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is if I entrust yayin mavushal, cooked wine, to an akum, ein tzarech chosim b'sol chosim. Rabbi say, it doesn't need a seal within a seal. All it requires is one seal to attest to its integrity. Why? Imishum and suchi lomenaski. Rabbi say, it's very important because if it's about avodah zara, I'm concerned that the akum is going to use it for his avodah zara, he's not going to use it for his avodah zara. Why, Rabbi say? Why? Because an Akum does not use Yayin Mavushal. Does not use Mavushal wine for a Zevodah Zarah. So this is perhaps one of the most important halachas we have. That's why I both say, again, remember, if the wine, again, we'll discuss ultimately the evolution of this halacha to go to the point where even if the Akum touches the wine, it's problematic for Jewish consumption. But this is the idea that ultimately these prohibitions do not apply to wine that is mavushal. Why? Because wine that is mavushal was never used for Avodah Zarah. And if we're concerned that the Akum is going to swap out my Mavushal wine for something else, that's not going to happen. Why? Because since there is a seal there, then by definition, again, he's not going to tamper with the seal to go ahead and take the mevushal wine. Tan Ravanan, yain mevushal. We'll say, so now that now we're going to begin the discussion of yain mevushal, cooked wine, va'alunsis. And alunsis of the kochav masurim. So we'll say we're going to talk about what alunsis is in just a moment. Alunsis kibriyasa muteres. We'll say plain alunsis ultimately again is going to be mutter. Rashi says over here alunsis kibriyasa shelo haya yain mitchil biat ovi kochavim ela lacha asuyim yad yisrael. We'll say if you bought ready made alunsis from Yisrael, it's going to be permitted. Veizu alunsis. So we'll say what's alunsis? Kidistan gabi shabbos osin anumolin. Ve'in osin alunsis. The halachas will say in Shabbos that you can make anumalin, but you can't make alunsis. What are these things? Ve'ezuhu anumalin. What's anumalin? Ve'ezu alunsis. Anumalin, yayin udivash upilpulin. So we'll say anumalin is wine, honey, and peppers. Alunsis, yayin yashan umayim tsululin va'afar simon. So ultimately, again, what's alunsis? We'll say it's old wine, clear water, and balsam oil. Why do you make it? The avdile lebe mesusa. Ultimately, I will say it was actually used for people after they went to the bathhouse to cool down after going to the bathhouse. So the Gemara just this brisa, I should say this Mishnah is talking about by Shabbos that you could consume these items. The Gemara seems to indicate that what that alunsis Rabosei is problematic when purchasing from an akum. Why? Since it has yayin yashan in it, since it has wine, there's going to be an issue of yayin esach. Rabba and Rav Yosi turn to Arvayu. We'll see. Rabba and Rav Yosi both say as follows: yayin mazuk ein bo mishum gilui. We'll see. It's very interesting. Diluted wine. That's yayin mazuk, diluted wine. I will say, every wine is diluted. We saw this in our Pesachim days about what the dilution ratio was. So yayin mazuk means wine that is diluted even more than normal. Even more than normal. So we'll say, listen to this. We have another halacha of gilui mashkin, which is that you are not supposed to leave liquids uncovered overnight. Why? Out of concern for snake venom. So now the Gemara says as follows, Rabbi Rav Yosef says as follows, that if you have diluted wine, if you have diluted wine, there is no issue of gilui. They will say, when we say there's no issue of gilui, why? Because apparently snakes don't drink diluted wine. These are very, very fine, high-palated snakes over here. So the snakes don't drink diluted wine. So the Gemara says, therefore, there's no issue of gilui. Yain mevushal, ein ba mishum nisuch. Sooner again, Rabbi Osai, yain mevushal, wine that is cooked, there's no issue of yayin nesech. So meaning, if an akum were to go ahead and touch the cooked wine of a Jew, it would not cause any kind of problem. Okay, so we'll say the Gemara is lumping these two concepts together. So we'll say, so now the Gemara asks, okay, well, you told me Yayin Mavushal has no din of Yayin Esach, and Yayin Mazug, diluted wine, has no din of Gilui. Does Yayin Mavushal have a din of Gilui? If I leave Mavushal wine uncovered overnight, is that a problem or not? So Tashma, Heid Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi al Yayin Mavushal Shein Ba Mishum Gilui. So listen to this. We learned in Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi says that wine that is Mavushal, there is no problem of Gilui. In other words, you can leave it uncovered overnight. Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael. So listen to this. We'll say, fine. Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael Chalosh. Rabbi Yanai got sick. All the Gabe Rabbi Yishmael ben Zerud v'Rabbanan l'shalu yebe. Rabbi Yishmael bar Say and the Rabbanan go to be Mavakir Chola. So they go to Rabbi Yanai to be Mavakir Chola. Yossi v'kami bari luhu. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yanai goes ahead and poses the following question. Yayin mevushal yeshu mishum gilui, ein mishum gilui. So we'll say, literally again, Rabbi Yanai is sick. The other rabbanim are coming to be mevaker chola. And they ask the question, Rabbi Yanai asks the question, does yayin mevushal, does cooked wine, is it subject to the laws of gilui or not? Can you leave it uncovered overnight or not? So Amru Rabbi Shmuel ben Zerud. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zerud said, Halchi Amar Shimon Lakish. This is what Reish Lakish said. Mishum Gavar Abba, in the name of a great man. Uman Rabosai, who is the great man? Reb Chia. Yayin Mavushal Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. Paskin, that Rabosai, cooked wine is not subject to the laws ultimately of Gilui. You can leave it open overnight, because the snake is not going to touch it. Amrule Nismoch. So they said to him, the other Rabbanim there said to him, can we rely on this? Machvi lehu, Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael, Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael motioned to them, alai va'al tzavari. You could rely on it, and again, you could rely on it based on me and on my neck. Which also says another way of saying, yes, literally, it's on my shoulders, you could rely on it. Also, listen to this, Maisa. Shmuel va'avlit, havi yasvi. Shmuel and Avleit were sitting together. Rabbi say, now who's Avleit? Rashi points out Ovei Kochavim Haya. He wasn't Akum. He wasn't Akum. But Rabbi say, as we'll see, he was a very respectful Akum. So Shmuel sitting together with Avleit, Aisu Lekamaihu Chamra Mivashla. So they brought before Shmuel cooked wine, Yain Mavushal. Mashchei Liade. Avleit removed his hand. So we'll say, listen to this Derech Eretz. So Avleit the Akum goes out and sees the wine in front of the Shmuel. What does he do? He moves his hand back, meaning to make sure that what? That he doesn't touch the wine. He doesn't want to ruin Shmuel's wine. So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel. Shmuel said, Avleit, don't worry. Hari Amru Yain Mavushal in Bomishum Yain Esech. Don't worry about it, Avleit, because again, remember the rabbis already said that cooked wine is not subject to the laws of Yayin Nesech. That again, your touching of the cooked wine cannot render it unfit. One time the maidservant of Rabbi Chiya left a bottle of Yayin Mavushal uncovered overnight. Uncovered overnight. Also, the Kamed Rabbi Chiya, she came up for Rabbi Chiya, Amrallah, she asked him, what's the halacha with this wine? So Rabbi Chiya responds, Amrallah, Hari Amru Yain Mavushal in Bomishum Gilui. He said to her, don't worry about it. The rabbi said that Yain Mavushal is not subject to Gilui. So Bosai, what we're beginning to see is Yain Mavushal, Bosai, really is exempted from a lot of halachas. Namely, it doesn't become Yain Esach. There's also no din of Gilui. So Bosai, what it turns out is, the Gentiles don't want it. The snakes don't want it. So apparently it's only the Jews who are drinking the Yain Mavushal, which again is interesting muster in and of itself. So it says the Gemara the following. Shamed Rav Adabar Ava Igli Lecham Ramaziga. So let's listen to this. The Shamis, the servant of Rav Adabar Ava, one time left uncovered this diluted wine overnight. Amrale, Hari Amru Yain Mazik in Bamishim Gilui. And again, Vadabar Ava said, don't worry about it, because the rabbi said that diluted wine is not subject to the laws of Gilui. Amra Papa, Lo Amran, Ela Demazik Tuva. So Bosai, Papa comments on this, and he says, that's only if it's really diluted, very diluted. Ava Mazik Velo Mazik Shasi. Bosai, if it's only a little bit diluted, the snake will still go ahead and drink it. So the Gemara says, really? Umazik velo mazik mishasi. Is that true that at the end of the day, even if it's diluted a little bit, the snake will drink it? V'harava barav huna hava, well, listen to this maysa. V'harava barav huna hava ka'azil ba'arva. Well, say one time Rabba barav huna was traveling by boat. V'avinakit chamra bahade. And he had his wine with him. Right? Gotta take your wine with you. He had his wine with him. V'chazi lahu chiyua or chivaye ditsari va'asi. Well, say he saw a snake. There was a snake on the boat. There was a snake on the boat that he saw making its way towards the barrel of wine. Va'amrle l'shame. So we'll say Rabbi Barav Huna sees this. He says to his servant, Sami ene didin shakil kali maya. So we'll say what happens? He told his servant, literally blind the eye of the snake, which we'll say is another way of saying, don't let the snake drink from the wine. So what did the servant do? He put some water into the barrel of wine. Or so he really said, he just put a little bit of water in to dilute the wine a little bit. And what happens? The snake turned around. Snake didn't want this wine anymore. So we'll say, what do you see from here? What you see from here is that even a little bit of dilution. See, we just said before, that it's only if it's very diluted that a snake won't drink it. But if it's a little bit diluted, the snake will drink it. You see from here that even just a little bit of dilution causes the snake to turn away. We'll say first of the intermediate wide lines, Achaya Masr Nafshei. I'm a Ziga Lo Masr Nafshei. Well, this is interesting terminology. For undiluted wine, the snake mamish will risk everything. The snake really wants it, will risk everything. Even will risk trying to get to the wine when there are humans around. For diluted wine, snake's not going to risk its life. Now, as well say, obviously a statement like this is their observation of snake behavior. Right? This is what they observed. V'amazigal amasra nafshei, is that true that a snake doesn't risk its life for diluted wine? V'arabiyanai hava be'achburi. Rabbiyanai was one time, I will say, be'achburi is a place. Formerly barhejja hava be'achburi. I will say, let's say it was barhejja, it was by be'achburi. Havi yasvu, yasi, havi kashasu chamra mziga. They were sitting and drinking diluted wine. Pashlu chamra bakuba. And I will say, there was some wine left in the barrel. Vitsaruni beparunka, or barparvanka, I should say. And I'm about to say, what did they do? If you look at Rashi, beparvanka, kisui shalbege kashrapi. And I'm about to say, so they, what they did is they were drinking wine. There was some wine left. They tied a piece of cloth over the top of the barrel, just to cover up the wine. Vichazila huchiua, deshakil maya. I'm about to listen to this. And they saw a snake that did something very intriguing. The Shakil Maya Varama Bakuva kept taking some water, spinning it into the barrel. Ad Dimala Bakuva Vasalik Khamra Iluya Parvanka Vishasi, until he pushed the wine level over the top of the barrel so that the liquid spilled over from on top of the cloth. So the idea is, it's a very committed snake, right? So the idea over here is that he keeps drinking water, spinning water into the barrel to raise the liquid level. Because remember, again, the top of the barrel is not solid. It's a piece of material. So if you spit enough water in there, the liquid will flow over and the snake will have the wine. So we'll say, what do you see? You see from here that snakes drink even heavily diluted wine. Amri demazik ihu shasi. If the snake dilutes it, the snake will drink it. Demazigi achrini lo shasi. Someone else dilutes it, snake's not going to drink it. But you will say, if you think about it, by the way, it's an incredible, incredible musr. The musr is, will say that if I put effort into something, even if it's highly imperfect, I'm very attached to that. If someone else creates something that is imperfect, I'm very reticent to attach myself to it. In other words, I will say, the imperfections that others do, or that others perform, or the imperfection in the Maisi Adayim, in the actions of others, are very easily visible and also ultimately push me away. That which I put effort into, as imperfect as it may be, by definition, I'm attached to it. So if somebody else dilutes the wine, the snake says, no, thank you. You know, what else do you have on the wine menu? Right? No, thank you. But if the snake dilutes it himself, he put in the avoda, ultimately, again, he feels a connection. So let's listen to what we'll say. So Ravashi says to Rav Misharshia, literally, Rav will say, piruka l'sakanta means, are you giving answers? Are you giving answers to sakana? Look at Rashi. What that means is, piruka l'sakanta, l'davar shiish bo sakana atabo l'taritz, v'lista rayo shen l'mavin, v'ananismo kahani. So let's see, Ravashi says to Rav Misharshia, I don't understand. Why are you trying to answer this up? If there's a possibility of sakana, it's aser. In other words, why are you making these crazy distinctions between very diluted, not so diluted, if the snake dilutes it himself, if someone else dilutes it? At the end of the day, if we observe snakes coming anywhere near these types of liquids, there's only one resolution, which is, it's aser. Don't drink it. I always want to say, remember again, we're dealing with the issue of gilui mashkin, which means leaving liquids uncovered, which we'll say is an aspect of sakana. There's a concern for danger. Whenever there's a concern for danger, don't start giving reasons. Don't start giving teirutzim, but just say that it's aser. We'll say, in general, we have a concept in halacha of schamira sakanta meisura, that whenever there are matters of sakana, we always deal with sakana more stringently than we do with iser itself. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasa. We'll say the halacha is yayin mazeg yesho mishum gilui. We'll say diluted wine is still subject to the laws of gilui mashkin, which means we'll say if you leave diluted wine uncovered overnight, you may not drink it the next morning. V'yesh bo mishum yayin esach. And we'll say, interestingly enough, diluted wine is still subject to the laws of yayin esach. On the other hand, yayin mavushal, cooked wine, ein bo mishum gilui. Rebbe said there is no issue of gilui. The snakes don't drink. The snakes don't drink diluted wine, cooked wine, excuse me. The ein bo mishum yayin esach. And Rebbe said there is no law of yayin esach. And Rebbe said this, as we know, is indeed halacha lemaisa. So if it's diluted wine, it is subject, Rebbe said, to the laws of gilui and yayin esach. If it is cooked, yayin mavushal, it is not subject to the laws of gilui, of leaving it open overnight, nor is it subject to the laws of yayin nesach. So I'll say important halacha. There's a lot more to discuss with this in terms of, again, for us today, practically, it's not such an issue, because I'll tell you where it does come up. It comes up ultimately. See, today it's different, because today, if a wine is mavushal, it's labeled mavushal. So for us, this discussion about what determines bishul or not is not really something we grapple with. So in older days, what level of heat makes something mavushla? As I mentioned before, Moshe's tshuva, does pasteurization make something mavushla or not? So that was subject to much more dispute. Today, pretty much, it's spelled out for us. So I will say, again, a very important halacha, especially if one is entertaining non-Jews, they need to be very careful and ultimately go ahead and make sure that the wine that one is serving is mavushal in order to go ahead and bypass. It doesn't mean that a person can't serve non-mavushal wine, even if it's mixed company, but a person certainly has to be careful, ultimately, again, who comes in contact with the wine under those circumstances. I'm sorry? There's a machlokis as to whether or not the din of Gilui Mashkin applies now as well. The Aruch HaShulchan says the din no longer applies because we don't live in rural areas anymore where there are just snakes around. But there are still those who feel that one should be makbin on Gilui Mashkin as well. Okay, Shamei Drav Chilkiya Bartuvi. Igalya Hahu Kista Demayas. Well, so listen to this. The servant of Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi, one time, left uncovered a kista de mayer, let's say a jug of water. He left open a jug of water overnight. So what happens? So the Gemara says, v'havenayim gaba, but he was sleeping next to it. So he left it open overnight, but he fell asleep next to it. Also, Bartuvi. So they came over Chilki Bartuvi. Amru emas yashin alehem. You don't have to worry about it because snakes are scared of people even when they're sleeping. So the fact that you were sleeping next to the open jug of water, there's no issue of giloy because you're sleeping there. So literally, imas yashin means the fear of the sleeping one is upon them. Vahani mili, I'll say first of the widest line, vahani mili bi imam avabalai lalo. But that's only true by day. But by night, the snakes aren't afraid. And therefore, there's an issue of giloy. Falohi, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, this is not true. Lo shna b'imam of lo shna b'alayla, emas yashin aleihem lo aminon. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, it's not true. The snakes aren't scared of anything. They're not scared of sleeping people. And therefore, by definition, again, even if you're sleeping by the jug, one must be concerned, ultimately, again, for giloy mashkin. Rav lo shasi mi be'ar mo. So Rabbi Yossi, listen to this. Rav would not drink. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Rav would not drink, Rav Osai, from liquids, from drinks, from a Be'arma, from a house of an Aramian. Rav Osai, Aramian is just a Gentile guy. Amr, lo zihiri b'gilui. This is why? Because the Gentiles are not careful with the laws of Gilui Mashkin. So I also want to point out something very interesting to you. The concept of not drinking a liquid that has been left uncovered overnight, Rav Osai, if you notice again, is not an issue of, it's not an issue of halacha. It's not the pshat that there's something different about Jewish liquids, right? It's the idea of, it's safety. It's sakana. So therefore, I will say, on a technical level, it applies to Jew and Gentile alike. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Rav said he would not drink liquids from a Gentile home out of concern that they were not careful with the laws of Gilui. So the Gemara says, Mibi al malta shasi, but he would drink from the home of a widow. Why? Amar sircha de gavra nikita. Because Rabbi Yossi said that even though there's not a man in the house who would be versed in the halachos, again, reflecting the realities of his time as well, that even though there's not a man in the house who would be knowledgeable of the halachos, we assume that the widow perpetuates the minhagim of her husband. And as such, again, we assume that when her husband was alive, he would have been careful not to leave the liquids uncovered. We assume that the almana is doing the same thing as well. Shmuel oshasimi be'ar malta. Shmuel, on the other hand, would not drink water, ultimately, again, from the house of an almana. Amar, les la imsa de gavra, v'lo mechasya maya. He was concerned that now that her husband is dead, maybe she's not as vigilant in just keeping up the halachos, ultimately, again, of her home. Again, I will say, not because chas shalom is a bad, just perhaps because of a lack of knowledge. Again, I will say, reflecting the idea that, you know, in times of the Gemara, the primary, women were not given the primary Judaic education. As such, again, what she knew what to do was probably at first from her father and then afterwards from her husband. So if her husband's not there, then at the end of the day, you have to be concerned that perhaps she's not perpetuating those halachas. On the other hand, Arma shasi, but he would drink liquid from the house of a Gentile. Why? Nehi de igluya lo kapti aminakrusa miyakapti. Because also, even though obviously the Gentiles do not have the halacha of gilui, but they were makbasi, they were makbid on hygiene. So I'll say the law of gilui, I will say, is really a din of hygiene as well, which is people wouldn't leave liquids uncovered, I will say, for a different reason, which is what? Even aside from snake venom, if you leave liquids uncovered, I will say, inevitably what happens? Just stuff falls in. So at the end of the day, the Ammonites were still careful with general hygiene, and therefore they would cover their liquids. Ikadami, others say, Rav lo shasi ma'im ibe armo, ava mibe amal to shasi. Others say, just the opposite, Rav would not drink water from the house of an Aramean, but he would drink from the house of an Ammon. Shmuel lo shasi ma'ya lomi be armov lomi be armalto. Shmuel, on the other hand, wouldn't drink water out. Wouldn't drink water out, Rav say, right? He wouldn't see, this is, if you're looking for a new chumrah, I just gave it to you, right? Sorry, I don't drink water out. So let's say, so the idea is Shmuel would not drink, and again, obviously, he's not saying it also just stam chumrah. He was concerned that people were not makbid in terms of gilui, and therefore there's an element of sakana here as well. Amir Shoban Levi. Shalosh yenos hein, vein ba mishim gilui. Both say there are three different types of wine, and none of them are subject to the laws of gilui. Now both say, now these three types of wine, at first glance, the Gemara is going to say, are a little bit more inferior in nature, and therefore, again, not subject to the laws of gilui. Veilu hein. Both say, what are they? Chad mar masuk. Both say, chad means sharp wine, mar means bitter wine, masuk means sweet wine. So both say, so what is this? Chad tila harifa. Chad tila harifa demitzari ziki. So we'll say chad sharp wine. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says of a tila harifa min yayin chazak. We'll say it's a very sharp wine. Demitzari ziki is so strong that we'll say over time it causes the utensils in which it is contained to burst. So strong that literally again it's a container buster. Mar. Yarnaka. So I'll say, what's mar? What's bitter wine? So ultimately, again, yarnaka. But I'll say, this is Rashi says, ra umar. So yarnaka apparently means it is bad and bitter. Okay, it says it all. Masok. And we'll say, what's sweet wine? Chuya. Rashi says, it's actually very interesting. We'll say, you know what this is referring to over here? Late harvest. Look at Rashi, it's fascinating. Chuya. Masok machmas hashemesh. Again, this is late harvest grapes. The grapes are left on the vine longer. Therefore, again, the sugar collects more intensely, and therefore creates a sweeter. And I will say, you see something very interesting. Eino hagun. Right? I will say, which is fascinating, which is Rashi saying, this is inferior. You can tell this to Herzog. They charge like $27 a bottle for the late harvest wines. So I will say, so again, amazingly enough, so, You get cheaper? Let me know, please. So I'll say, so again, it's also fascinating just about wine consumption habits, I will say, which is, so again, late harvest in the eyes of the Gemara ultimately, again, was considered to be an inferior wine. So the Gemara says as follows. So Rav Chama Masli Le'iluya. Rav Chama actually said, no, these wines are actually good wines. Chad, we'll say, what is sharp wine? That's chamer upalpalin. That's made of wine and peppers. Mar, we'll say, what is bitter wine made of? Afsintian. We'll say, it was made out of this thing called afsintian. Masok me barag. Rashi says, me barag is mashma meshubach. Was a very good wine. Okay. Anub Shem Lakish, Karina ain bo mishum gilui. We'll say, Karina, Rashi says, is chalya masok. Sweet vinegar. Sweet vinegar is not subject to the laws of gilui. So my Karina, so the Gemara says, what's Karina? Amrabevo, chamra chalya da'asi mi'asya. We'll say, it is sweet vinegar. Da'asi mi'asya. So the Gemara says, Amrava ubimkomo, yesh bo mishum gilui. But we'll say, ultimately, again, in its place, it is subject, ultimately, again, to gilui. We'll say, bimkomo means in the country in which it is made. Ultimately, again, it is subject to laws of gilui. What's the reason for that? My time, chamar medinu. Because we'll say, in its location where it's produced and people consume it, it's considered to be a chamar medinu. Amarava, hai chamra da'akrim. We'll say, listen to this. This wine, we'll say, da'akrim is very interesting. Rashi says, hichmitz velo chamat sagun. We'll say, this is wine that has begun to turn. It's begun to turn, but yet it hasn't become total vinegar. Say chamra de akrim ad tlasa yomi yoshba mishum gilui. So we'll say, listen to this. For the first 3 days when it's beginning to turn, it's still subject to gilui. Because we'll say, at that beginning stage when it's beginning to turn, but it hasn't yet fully turned, you could still drink it. And therefore, again, it is subject to the laws of gilui. Umishum yayin esech. And I will say, ultimately, therefore, it's subject to the laws of yayin esech as well. Amud beis. Mikan ve'elech. I will say, after those 3 days, At that point, the Tanna will say, the Gemara says this, Mam Shrashi says this, Neskalkel Harbe. It's already been compromised significantly. We'll say after 3 days, we'll say is considered to have turned significantly, and therefore not subject to the laws of Gilui, nor is it subject to the laws of Yayin Nesech. When our Adayim, then our Adayim say, Afilu Labasar Tlasiyomi, Chayshinan Mishum Gilui. Then our Adayim will say that even after three days, it is subject to the laws of Gilui. We'll say, what's the reason for that? My time, Zimnin Mikri Vishasi. Because we'll say, sometimes it happens that a snake will go ahead and drink that. So we'll say, after 3 days, everybody will agree it's not subject to Yayin Nesech anymore, because it's really, really no longer fit for human consumption. Apparently, there's just an opinion that says that it's subject to Gilui, because snakes ultimately, again, will still drink it. So it says in Yom Tan Rabbanon. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nehyeh Bidvaro. Weiter. Says the Gemara. Yayin Toseis. Now, this is also very interesting. Rashi says Yayin Toseis. Top Rashi, top line. Yayin Chadash Megito. Achu Mach Metzlios Yayin Karitoseis. We'll say, this is new wine. This is wine that has begun the fermentation process, but is not yet fully fermented. I don't know if there's a technical term for such wine, but it's Yayin Toseis. We call it new wine, or really, it really means fermenting wine. Wine that is in the process of fermentation, but has not yet fully fermented. So we'll say, you have to understand something also. People drank this stuff. You see something very interesting. They drank Yayin Toseis. They also drank wine that was beginning to turn. For a very simple reason, which is what? Wine was a staple drink. It's not like for us today, for most of us today, right? Where wine is not necessarily, you know, a staple. I mean, the idea is wine today is a much different kind of drink. Wine was a staple drink. So once anything is a staple drink, by definition, the window for consumption always becomes a bit larger. So therefore, again, you know, it's beginning to turn, but it hasn't turned. It's okay, we could drink it. Or it's beginning to ferment, but hasn't yet fully fermented. We could drink it. So that's Yayin Toseis. Ein bo mishum Gilui. So we'll say, ultimately, again, it is not subject to the laws of Gilui. The Kama Tisisas. So we'll say, how long does the process of fermentation take? Gimel Yamin, 3 days. Hashecholim ein bo mehem mishum Gilui. We'll say, similarly again, Shecholim Rashi says, is cress together with wine. Right? Rashi says, Tarof Bekli v'shachuk v'yayin omayim nisunimbo. It's either a drink with cress and wine or cress and water. So the Gemara says, B'nei gol, yesh bo ein ba mishum gilui. We'll say it's not subject to the laws of gilui. On the other hand, B'nei gola nagul bahen isra. We'll say the diaspora communities were more machmir and said that even this drink is subject to the laws of gilui. V'lo amran ela deles buchalam. Well, we'll say, there's only assuming that there's no vinegar mixed in. Aval ispu chala migribu. But we'll say, ultimately, again, if there is vinegar mixed in, then what migribu we'll say means it repels the snakes. Rashi says, migribu hachometz miskara v'nilcham b'chikon shal nechashim v'nshosin bo'im. Apparently, again, the vinegar is offensive to the snake's palate, and therefore, again, the snake turns away from it. Kusach HaBavli. We'll say it's been a little while since we spoke about Kusach HaBavli. Babylonian Kusach. Well, so that's Babylonian Kusach. Look at Rashi, Kusach HaBavli. Remember, we spent so much time in Psachim speaking about Kusach HaBavli. Rashi says, Kusach HaBavli, Chazaku, Kichomets, Kidmefarish Be'ilu Ovrin, Diyavu Be'ipu Sheipas, Unisyu Be'dechalva. We'll say, so Babylonian Kusach was a dip, and it was made with curdled milk, and moldy bread. It's an acquired taste. So I'll say, so what happens? So you go ahead and you make it into a dip. You make it into a dip, but it also has like a little bit of a liquidy consistency. Thank you. So what happens was a Kusach HaBavli ein bo mishum gilui. It will say he's not subject to the laws of gilui. Ubnei gola nagu bo iser. It will say at the end of the day, the diaspora communities were machmir on it and said they know it is subject to the laws of gilui. I'm Rav Menashe. So Rashi says, if you see puncture bites, so the Gemara says, look, you don't have to eat machmir, but if you do see something that looks like snake bites, like puncture bites, then the mind says again, you should be choshesh for gilui. I'm Rav Chiya bar Ashi, I'm Rav Shmuel. May tif, ain't bo mishum gilui. This is actually very interesting. May tif, Rav Osei means that if you have, let's say you have a barrel of wine, and that barrel had a leak, so you put a clear. You put a utensil underneath the barrel to catch the wine that's dripping out. So the Gemara now says that receptacle that is collecting the dripping wine is not subject to the laws of Gilead. So it's called Meitiftif. Tiftif means, Rav's brother, means dripping. So again, the receptacle that catches the wine that is dripping from the barrel, ein bo mishum gilui. So we'll say, this is very interesting. I'm Rav Ashi, v'hu da'avit tif lahade tiftif. That's only what we'll say. That's only if there is a consistent and constant drip. One drip after the next. So we'll say, so why is that such a gilui? The noise scares off the snake. So if there's a constant and consistent drip, there's no issue of gilui because the constant dripping itself scares off the snake. That's very interesting. The opening of the fig is not subject to the laws. Now, here's what's interesting. When you go ahead and you pick off a fig off a tree, so also what ends up happening is, you can see this, it's not like, you know, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you see like the figs mamish come off the tree, you know, it looks different than the dried figs you buy in the store here. So if you take the fig off the tree, I will say, often again, you could go ahead and the stem remains on the tree and the fig comes off, which means the top of the fig is open. So I might have thought that, Rabbi, if I leave figs out, maybe there should be a concern that the snake is going to come and inject its venom, and you wouldn't be able to see it. Why not? Because maybe the fig injected its venom into the opening of the fig. So we'll say there's no puncture marks there because that area is already open. So if Chibar actually says in Mishmuel, you don't have to worry about the snake injecting its venom into the opening of the fig. Kiman, Rabbi Sayyid's opinion, this is perfect. Kiyai Tana, Rabbi Sayyid, according to the following Tana, the Sanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ochel Adam Anavim Uteinim Balayla, a person could eat grapes and figs at night, Venechoshesh, and one doesn't have to be worried about snakes. Why? Rabbi Sayyid is actually amazing. Mishum Shenemar, Shomer Pisayim Hashem. Because the Pasuk says, Tirchadish Baruch, who watches over the simple ones. Rabbi Sayyid, now what does that have to do with anything? So Rabbi Sayyid, this is part of a much larger discussion, which is that there are many activities of daily living which carry with them a potential of danger. B'yet Rabbi Sayyid, we still do them. Things like, right, driving. Things like crossing the street, right? So Rabbi Sayyid, we do them. Why? You have to, right, obviously, Torah says, right, you have to watch your life. So let's say the concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem means that we're permitted to engage in the activities of daily living, even if they are somewhat dangerous, because I will say we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over us in our normative activities of daily living. Well, it's actually very important. That's why a person is not permitted to go ahead and engage in activities which carry with them unnecessary risk. So for example, you know, if you were to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, can I go skydiving? So let's say, I would say the answer to that is unequivocally no. I mean, unless like you're a soldier or you have to do it, meaning if it's part of your job, that's something different. But because you're some person who unfortunately is too bored with your day-to-day life and you have to jump out of an airplane, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Of course you're not allowed to do that. What's the shayla? Let's say, you know, there are posting who bring this down by skiing, by the way. You know, in terms of, don't worry, you'll ask. I'm not just thinking about that, but I'm just pointing out that there are things that by definition carry with them an enhanced sakana that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to do because there's no reason to place yourself in unnecessary danger. Yet, those activities of daily living, I will say, which are just normative activities, even though, yes, of course, they do have a danger associated with them, we rely on this concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam watches over the simple ones. The Gemara says, you're eating food, you don't have to be choshesh, ultimately, again, for the snake going in and taking a bite out of it. So the Gemara goes weiter. I'm Rav Safra, Mishnah Rabbi Shua, Duroma. So Shlosha Mine Arasein. Rabbi say there are three different types of snake venom, snake poison. Shel Bacher. Rabbi say so venom that comes from a young snake, Shokea, sinks down to the bottom of the liquid. Shel Benoni, the venom of a, I guess we'll call it a middle-aged snake, Mifafea, kind of floats. Vishel Zokin, and Rabbi say the venom of an old snake, Tsaf, floats to the top of the liquid. Now the Gemara understands very interesting enough that this reflects the intensity of the venom. The youngest snake has the most intense venom, therefore it's quote unquote the heaviest. Therefore it sinks to the bottom. The middle-aged snake has an in-between venom, therefore it floats. The old the old snake has the weakest venom, and therefore it floats to the top. To which the Gemara says, is that to say, you're telling me then that the older the snake gets, the weaker the intensity of its venom. We learned, shlosha, there are three creatures where as they get older, they actually get stronger. And what are they? Elohein, dag, a fish, nachash, a snake, and a chazer. So the Gemara says, well, see, that what? The snake gets stronger as it gets older, and as such, again, its venom should be more intense. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Koach, osufihu dikamosif, zihirei kachalish, kalish. Well, it's like the snake physically gets stronger as it gets older, but what? Its venom gets weaker. So the physical vitality of the snake increases as it gets older, but the intensity of its venom gets weaker. Shalbachar shokea. So we'll say when we say that the venom of a young snake sinks to the bottom, lamai hilchasa, who cares? Or as well say, so like, what is the ramification of that? Oh, I'll tell you why. Disanyo, listen to this. Chavish in Iskala will say, if you have a barrel of liquid that was left uncovered overnight, even though 9 people drank from it, they're both saying, what? Nothing happened to them. Lo yishtet mimeno asiri. The 10th guy still should not drink from it. Because they will say, what happened? Maiseh shahaya. There was a maiseh shahaya. Sheshasu eno tisha v'lo meisu. Somebody left a barrel of liquid open overnight. 9 people drank from it. Nothing happened to them. Veshasa asiri umeis. And they will say, what happens? The 10th guy drank and he died. And what happened? Of Amar Abyermia zeu shokea. Ultimately, because what happened over here? What happened? It must have been that there was a young snake that injected its venom. So what happened to the venom? The venom settled to the bottom. So the first 9 people, and by the way, 9 is just a random number that they're using over here. That was the Maisa. The first 9 drank from it and they were totally fine. The 10th guy drank from the bottom of the barrel, and what happens, Rabosai? He got the venom. And as a result, ultimately, unfortunately, died. Amar Abyermia zeu shokea. Dechina vatiach. Rabosai, same thing as with a melon. Sheneskal, but it's actually very interesting because generally we assume that the gilui din is a din ultimately again in liquids. Rashi points out over here that with the avatiach, he says it's some type of melon. The gasu, I will say the idea is because it has a soft consistency to it. If the snake takes a bite out of it, I will say it's the same thing, which is the venom could settle in. Even though 9 people ate from it, so nothing happened to them. The 10th guy should not eat from it. Because one time there was the episode where what? 9 people ate from it, they were totally fine. And the 10th guy ate from it, we'll say, what happened to him? He died. Rabbi Yirmiya said, Zeu shokeya. Ultimately, again, I will say what happened over here. This was the case of the venom that settled in. So the nafkamina is that you have to be choshesh for the venom even of a young snake, which even if the first couple of people are eating or drinking from this item that was left uncovered and they're fine, don't assume that it's okay to continue because it could be the chas v'shalom, the venom settled to the bottom. We'll say if you have water that was left uncovered overnight, you're obviously not going to drink it, but you should not spill it out into the Rishus HaRabim as well. We'll say, what's the issue? The issue is if somebody walks over it, and they have a cut, or they have a crack in their skin, and that water gets in there, it could be detrimental to one's health. For lo yarbis panas habayis, don't use it, we'll say, to mop the house. Remember again, they had dirt floors. How do you mop a dirt floor? The answer is, you don't, right? What do you do with the dirt floor? Do you sprinkle water on it, Rabosai, to keep the dust down? So same issue over here, where somebody's going to be walking inside the house, and there's going to be water that gets into the cut on the foot, and it can be problematic. And do not go ahead and use this ultimately, again, to make mortar. Rabosai, again, because the issue over here is, as you're kneading the bricks, it could get into a cut in the skin. And don't go ahead and use it to go ahead and give to drink your animal, nor the animal of your friend. And I will say, do not use it to wash your hands, your feet, and your feet and your face. Your hands, your feet, and your face. The others say, if you have a crack in your skin like a cut, you can't use it. En sirta mutter. Let's say if there is no crack, then ultimately what? You can use it. I achirim hainu tanakama. But one second, aren't the achirim and the tanakama saying the same thing? To which the Gemara says, no, ikabinayu, gav hayad v'gav haregel. V'rumani da'ape. We'll say ultimately again that afkamina would be the top of the hand, the top of the feet, and the cheekbones. Which I will say, according to one opinion, is only an issue if there's a cut. According to the other opinion, it's problematic even if there's not a cut. Amar mar, lo yashke bahen, lo behem tov, lo behemas chavero. So we learned you shouldn't give to drink your animal or your friend's animal. Va, tanya v'amashke, lo behem tov, atzmo. But I will say, ultimately again, we learned that you could give it to drink to your own animal. So we have a contradiction. Ki tanya hi l'shunra. I will say, when can you go ahead and give it to drink? To your cat. You could give your cat, because apparently, again, I will say, your cat won't be negatively affected by the snake venom. So the Gemara says, Iachi dechavri nami. If that's the case, why can't you give it to your friend's cat as well? If the snake venom won't affect them, dechavri kochish. Because I will say, even though the snake venom won't kill your friend's cat, it will what? Weaken it. Didenami kochish. But then it will weaken my own cat as well. Hadr bari. It's okay. Even if my cat gets weakened a little bit, it'll recover. It'll recover, get healthy again. T'chavri nami hadabari. But one second, my friend's cat should also get healthy again. To which the Gemara says, Zinnin debar lezabuni umafsi lemine. Because they'll say, the problem with my friend's cat is that what? There might be that he might want to sell it. And if the snake, and if the, his friend's cat, if my friend's cat drinks the water, the cat will become weakened. If it becomes weakened, then what do I say? He's not going to be able to sell it. Therefore, at least at that time until it gets healthy again. Therefore, in order to avoid that, I can give the water to my own cat, because even if my own cat gets a little bit weak, it will recover, but I cannot give it to my friend's cat. We'll stop over here. Just a reminder again, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow and Friday Rosh Chodesh. We start the daf in Mirtz Hashem at 5:45 a.m.